PromiseGod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, if death stands in the way of receiving eternal life, how is God going to save us from death so that we may receive eternal life?
Let us summarize what we have thus far. We know that God promised to himself, within the confines of his own imagination, to give man eternal life, which would include a mortal body to live in, upon a planet called Earth to live on, in order to experience God's creations with God forever, without end. So God created all that was within his mind and brought it about. Titus 1:2 tells us of this promise that God made before time, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. And so, if he makes a promise, he must keep it, no matter what the conditions that may arise before he keeps that which he did promise and to whom he did promise it to. Once again, God promised to give eternal life as a gift, which means it cannot be worked for to acquire it, or it would not be a gift. But God wanted man to choose to live and love God himself of his own free will. And so God gave man the ability of free will, in order to choose for himself. So God placed two trees in the garden that represented the two choices. One tree was to say yes to God's plan of living in their bodies on earth and with God forever. That tree was known as the tree of life. The other tree was saying no to God's plan and would begin to put God's plan in reverse. That tree was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now God warned Adam and Eve, the first humans, that if they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die. Now death means to bring to a halt that which is in motion. So Adam and Eve chose to say no to God's plan. And so God put in reverse all that he had begun. Why? Because that is what Adam and Eve had chose. So God started by removing man from his body by a process of decay called aging. At the point of death, man would be removed from his body, which would also remove him from the earth and place him in hell and out of the presence of God. This would conclude what Adam and Eve had chosen for themselves and the human race. But God made a promise and would have to keep the human race going in order to fulfill his promise to man. So now man is living in a doomed body destined for death, a grave, hell, and the lake of fire. Because of the sin nature living in our bodies are doomed. And so are we who live in our bodies, as long as we choose by our own free will to live as that sin nature in our flesh nudges us to live. In a behavior of hate, bitterness, anger, fussing, fighting, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, jealousy, unforgiveness, gossip, slander, disobedient to authority, in pride and in selfishness, and more, which is called sin. The punishment for such a lifestyle is death, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So our sin behavior and death stand between us from acquiring eternal life if we chose to have what God said he wanted to give us. Now, a gift cannot be acquired by earning it. It must be given. So if death stands in our way, how can we acquire eternal life? Who can save us? And would not our salvation from death or the reverse plan of God also be free and become as a gift also? Yes to that answer. So someone would have to die for our sins for us, that we may live. For if we pay for our sins, we could not ever live again. Let me give a demonstration, and let me tell a story that I have told many times, which describes what Christ has done for us. There was a story of a family, a man and a woman, who had a child back in the 16th century. And they wanted better for their boy, better for their son than what they had themselves. They were living in the lowest end of poverty, and the country they lived in was in England. Now, at that time in history, only the boys were sent to school. The girls at this time were not. They stayed at home. Well, this family, this father and mother, they got jobs, all kinds of jobs, working hard, that when their child became of age, that they might be able to send this child to an all-boys school to get an education and to work his way up out of poverty. So when the time came, they had saved up as much as they could, and now it was time to send him. Well, they had saved up enough money in order to pay for his education and his books. And they had saved up enough money in order that he might receive a breakfast, a meal in the mornings, and that he might be able to receive a meal after he had gotten out of school at the end of the day. But they had not saved up enough money to make sure that he got a meal at noontime. And in this school, there was a rule that if anyone was caught stealing someone else's lunch or meal, that they would be taken before the class, stripped of their shirts, bent over, touching their knees, and would receive 40 lashes from the professor or their teacher. Well, the boy each day for 2 whole weeks went by, and at noontime watching everyone else eat their meal while he sat without, and as his hunger pains grew each day, growing stronger and stronger and stronger. After the end of 2 weeks, there was a lunch that was missing. Was he caught? Yes, he was caught. For he had stolen someone else's lunch. He stood before the class. His shirt was stripped from him. He was bent over, touching his knees, and the professor was ready to give him his 40 lashes. When all of a sudden, one of the students stood up and asked the professor a question. He said, "Sir, he says the rule says that one must be punished. Is that not correct?" The professor said, "Yes. But you see, the rule did not say to who it is that must be punished." So the boy that raised his hand, the other student, left his seat, and while walking up to the front of the class, began to take off his shirt. As he took off his shirt and got up there to the front of the class, and as he reached the other boy, he bent over, put his back over the back of the other boy, looked at the professor, and said, "Continue." The one who was innocent took the lashes and the punishment for the one who was guilty. And can I say also, it was his lunch that was stolen. In order that we may receive eternal life, someone must take the punishment of death for our sins, and it must be free. Over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Now let me explain. If eternal life is to be given still as a gift, then our being saved from death with our bodies, which is that single thing that keeps us from acquiring eternal life, must also come as a gift. Or the method of how we acquire eternal life is changed, which then makes God a liar. So the only way that we can be saved from death, which is the punishment for our living in that sin behavior, is that someone else must die in our place for our sin behavior, in order that we may live. Just as a student who took the 40 lashes for the other boy who stole the lunches. This substitute death must be free, and it cannot cost us anything, nor can it be earned, or it would not be a gift. If we can earn our salvation, then eternal life does not come as a gift, and God has not kept his promise. This is why Christ came to die. His death was for our sins and was a gift, so that we may not pay for our own sins by death. This death is to be a substitute for our sins, so that we may live, and it cannot be earned. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so if you ever wondered why Jesus had to die, now you have the answer. Jesus had to die, and it had to be free of cost to us, because God promised eternal life to mankind as a promise by gift even before he created heaven and earth. And that's why there was no other way to save mankind. Jesus it had to be done by Jesus' death. Someone had to die in place of our own punishment, because the punishment of our sins is death, and therefore Jesus was chosen as the instrument to take our punishment for our sins for us, so that we wouldn't be paying the punishment of our own sins ourselves, which is death. And that's the reason Jesus had to die. Does that answer your question, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net. ¶¶